I'm going to share a few words this morning just to continue to grow our appetite. You know, we're here to celebrate Thanksgiving and to, well, we call this the Thanksgiving stretch. Okay, so first off, I hope y'all put the elastic bands in your pants, right, so that we can stretch. Preparing for Thursday. Anyone else got that covered?
Yeah.
Okay, I see a couple of true fans in here. Good work. Good work, sir. But we also want to look at this Thanksgiving stretch as a stretching of our heart and a stretching of our minds as we would prepare to truly give thanks. Now, I'm one of those people, maybe it's a millennial mindset or whatever it is, but I'm like, we should give thanks every day, yeah? Right? So why in the world would we need a day just to give thanks? Right? But I think it's important that we would do so corporately as a country and come together and all giving thanks at the same time. There's something powerful about that. And so I just want to continue to prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for it. You know, growing up, Thanksgiving was just normal. It's just kind of what you did. You gave thanks. And for me, that was always, it was just easy. Right? You give thanks. But as I grew older, I began to realize that it's not always easy for everyone. People can have such circumstances in their life where everything is so perfect that it's hard to give thanks. Or that everything is so rough that it's hard to give thanks. And so I hope this morning I just want to share a few words that would help us a little bit to get into this, I'm going to call it, making the decision of Thanksgiving, making the choice of Thanksgiving. A couple weeks back, I was going to visit a friend in the hospital, and I went to go pick up Chris Norby, and we're driving from his place. And for those of you who don't know where Chris Norby lives, he lives over by Jackson High School in the Mill Creek area, and that's where I went to high school. So I pick him up, we're driving to the hospital, and there was just this flood of memories. And there's this one memory as we're driving those back roads. It brought me back so vividly. I'm driving my first car. It's a 1992 Honda Civic, right? Dropped down on springs, and oh man, it was sweet. And it was the boxy one. The 92 is right before they started to curve out the Civic. It brought me back to this memory. It's this little back road, 25 miles an hour, and I remember unloading into second, double clutching into third, and ooh, we were rolling. 52 and a 25, and then the blue and red lights went off. And the motorcycle cop sitting there on the side of the road, and I got my first ticket. Right, I believe I shared that one with Chris as we were driving, but I was just realizing that was a decision that I made to unload out of second and double clutch into third, right? That was my decision. I remember another decision I made. It was in July. My dad had just taken us to Boom City. Anyone? And so imagine this. You've got a garage full of Boom City explosives, fireworks, or another word for those. And the parents went away, so the kids went out to play. You get what I'm saying? Now, one of our favorite fireworks were the mortars. You guys know, they have the cylinders, and you the little ball, you put it in there. Long fuse, right? You light it, and you run the other way because it's going to shoot up into the sky and make this big, beautiful explosion. Well, my brother and I had it in our minds that this beautiful explosion was so much better when it's closer to the ground, when you don't use the cylinder and you light it and throw it more like a grenade. Anybody guilty of doing that? I see a hand back there. Yes, ma'am. And, I mean, it really would do this. Now, we were intelligent enough to know that we didn't have enough room to do this in our cul-de-sac. Okay? Someone give me a big thumbs up for that one. Good job, Ben. Good job, my brother Andrew. So we went to the elementary school across the street, right? They had a bus parking lot, and so we had a little more space, and so we light that puppy up, and I tell you, it was beautiful. I mean, any other pyros in here, because this is pretty, right? So this beautiful firework show, after it went off, now it got the brush on fire, too. And so we're running back and forth from the elementary school to my house with buckets, just like you see in the cartoons, because that's what you do, and we're putting out this fire. Oh, my goodness. We started a fire at the elementary school. We got it out, And it was an epic story. Remember that time when we started a fire at the elementary school? Yeah. You got any more fireworks? Yeah. It was all a decision that I made. Our lives revolve around a choice, right? Our lives are marked by the choices that we make. Our tomorrows are marked by the choice that we make today. And among the many choices that we get to make, of course, there's the big choice that would dictate our eternal state, right? What we're going to be after we die. Actually, starting now, we can be in relationship with Jesus, right? And be with him for eternity. That's a decision we can make. Another daily decision that we make, and a weekly decision that we would make, and a seasonal decision that we would make, is the choice to give thanks. Will I give thanks? And I know that answer comes easier sometimes than it does for others. Receiving news of a healthy pregnancy, that's an easy thank you. When you get into your dream school, when you get that job, when your family's happy and provided for, it's so easy to give thanks during those times. But what about when it's hard? What about when times are harder? Will we choose to give thanks then? When that fetal ultrasound shows no heartbeat, will we give thanks then? When the doctor says the word death or cancer or even sickness, will we choose to give thanks then? When the closest to us abandon us, will we choose to give thanks then? When the bills go unpaid, when there's no food on the table, will we choose to give thanks then? What choice will we make in the day of trouble? Any of you had days of trouble? Been there. See, the amazing thing is, though, that the God who knows what to do in every single situation knew that we were going to go through times such as this. And he would give us some instruction as to how to actually give thanks during the when it's amazing and when it's not so amazing. And he did so one of the times through the words of King David himself. And I just want to read this to us this morning. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What's David doing here? He's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his soul. When the ground is falling out from underneath us and everyone has left us and we're all alone and everything seems broken, he's preaching to himself, saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, this flesh, all that I am, bless the Lord. You will bow. I will not bow to my situation. I will bow to Jesus. He who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." We are reminded now, as we would fast forward into time, of the price that's been paid for all of us. Any of you guys messed up in here? I didn't see enough hands. I'm looking across here, and I'm seeing a bunch of faces of people who are messed up. Would you look at someone next to you and say, "You're messed up. You messed up." Okay? This is something that we know practically. And hands-on, we experience this. This is something we also know from the Bible. We're all messed up. We've all sinned. We've all done something wrong in the eyes of God. We all don't deserve to be in relationship with him, but we get to be by the blood of Jesus. He doesn't hold any of those things against us. There's one thing to be thankful for. You know, I want to share one more passage with us, but I was on a hunting trip with my sister this past week and just talking through my message and sharing with her what I was going to share. And I said, "I'm going to share this verse out of Habakkuk 3. I'm thinking she's not going to have any idea what this is. And she just quotes this word by word with tears of joy in her eyes. It's like, oh, powerful, powerful moment. Let me just read this to you. Habakkuk 3:17. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, what he's saying is, you ain't got nothing. It's all gone. All the food is gone. All of your belongings are gone. All of your friends are gone. Everything is gone. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, my Lord, He's my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's and makes me tread on high places. Thankfulness is a stance that we can take during the ups and the downs, during the goods and the bads. It's a choice that we get to make. And amongst the highs and the lows of life, there's always this choice that we can give thanks. You know, it's the year 1620. 101 people, pilgrims, took to the seas in search of religious freedoms. In other words, that they would have a place where they could worship God freely among the other things that they were searching for. And these 101 arrive at Plymouth, and they realize how tough it is. There's disease. There's the other natural things that go on there. There's not having food. There's all this rough stuff, and over half of them die. 56 of them die. And the following year, they made a choice. With only 46 left, they joined along with 91 Native Americans, and they chose to rejoice and give thanks. In the midst of losing all of those people and how tough it was, they chose to rejoice. They chose to give thanks on a Thanksgiving. So how do we make this choice of giving thanks? I just have 3 points here. The first is this: give thanks for what God has done historically. In my Bible, I've got 2,498 pages of good news. It's a lot of good news, right? We've got the whole Old Testament with all of these promises leading up to Jesus, and then you've got Jesus coming, and then you've got Jesus dying but being resurrected, and then you've got life after. That's 2,498 pages of good news, of the promises that God has kept and the promises that are still to come. So just take a look at what God has done for His people over the years. Next, give thanks for what God is doing and has done in the lives of people that are around you. You guys hear any awesome stories that just kind of get you lit up? Yeah, I have. In fact, I've got this place in one of my journals where I just write these amazing stories that I can go back on them. Just, oh my gosh, you did this, God. Oh my goodness, you did this, God. Over and over, just remembering all the things that God has done and hearing the testimony of others or the stories of others of what God has done. Oftentimes that sparks within our own hearts like, oh yeah, God did something similar in my own life. Wow. And so that's the third. Give thanks for what God has done and is doing in your life. And so we arrive at this place of needing to make a choice. Will I give thanks? Will you give thanks? Will you give thanks? Think about it. I've asked some of us to share this morning about what God has done in their lives so that we could rejoice with them as well as be stirred up in ourselves. I just want to hear some stories of what God has done. I've asked, a couple people have said that they will share, and then we'll have some space for anyone else. Essentially what we're doing is talking about things that you're thankful for, what God has done in your life. These are what we would call testimonies. And so I want to start with Carol back there. And I'll bring you the mic so that we can all hear you. Give that a shot.
Okay.
Try that on for size.
Well, several years ago, when I was starting in 2010, I broke my hip and had to have hip replacement. And then 4 years later, I broke my right leg and I got a metal bar down. So you know how this cold weather does. And I thank God for all that. And then in February, I broke my shoulder, and I didn't have to have surgery. And I thank God for everything. He's healed me, and no complications, And I thank God for all the friends I've ever had, and my mother's still living, and she lives all by herself. And I just thank God for family and friends that I've had and all the healing He's done for me.
Are there any volunteers? Anyone want to share something that God has done? Oh, we got a hand over here, folks.
All right, hello. Okay, I'm gonna stand here. Where do I begin? All right, I mean, I've been like through a lot of stuff like my life, and I'm really thankful to God for like bringing me like to Him, you know. Mm-hmm. I went to camp and like encountered His presence, and like that's just changed my life since then. And like there's not like enough that I could do is just thank Him, and for you guys for like always being there for me, you know, mm-hmm. Junior and all of you guys over there and Victor. Yeah, so I give thanks to all of you guys and to God.
Anyone else? Any other volunteers? I see a hand waving over there.
I want to share a little story a couple of weeks ago, and my friend Maureen has taught me that she always asked her children when they were little, "Do you hear God? What is God saying to you?" And so one day, you know, when she's been with me when Samuel and Charlotte are around, she'll say to them, "What is God saying to you?" And sometimes Samuel will give her an answer, and sometimes he'll say, "I'm not hearing anything." Well, the other day I was driving in the car with Charlotte, and I said, "Charlotte, what does God say to you?" "Oh, I don't hear. He doesn't say anything to me." I'm like, "Well, Charlotte, maybe He does. Maybe you just don't quite know how to hear." And I said, "So, when God speaks, it's just kind of like it's just an idea sometimes. A thought just kind of lands on your mind, and that's kind of how it is. So, you pay attention, and maybe you'll hear God speak." And so I was taking her into a business and that a friend of mine owns, and I had had my art there earlier. Some of you came. Art there earlier in the spring, and there was a new photographer who had her art there, and I wanted to see it, so I had Charlotte with me, and I saw my friend, and it's a space probably twice as big as this, and there's art all the way around. And my friend was taking us around, and we had gotten, we'd come in here, and we'd gone and looked in all the little rooms, and we were, like, back over in that corner. And Charlotte, she just looked up at my friend and said, "This is an amazing place." And both my friend and I looked at Charlotte because it wasn't characteristic. She wasn't talking about Shopkins and Ninja Turtles and asking her auntie to take her to New York City so she could see whatever's in the sewers. I mean, she's like, "This is an amazing place." And my friend said, "Oh, I needed to hear that." So when we went outside, I said, "Charlotte, do you realize God just spoke to you? He put that in your heart to say, and Tracy needed to hear that." So it wasn't until, and, you know, we just went on. I don't push it with them, you know. But we just went on, and the next day I texted my friend. It was almost 5. It was probably after 5 o'clock the next day. And I texted my friend because I said, "Tracy, you have to hear the backstory on this. I had been talking to Charlotte about hearing God. And she walked in your place of business. And she heard God and she spoke to you. That was a prophetic word. That was a word of encouragement for you. And I want you to know that God used a little child to speak to you what you needed to hear." And Tracy responded back and she said, "Oh." She said, "You don't know, how much I needed that." She said, "My business has not grown like I hoped and dreamed and planned."
and I can't pay the rent, and I have to meet with the landlord tomorrow. Will you pray for me? I am so thankful for community, a friend who says, teach them to listen. Ask them periodically, are they hearing? What are they hearing God say? I'm so thankful for a little child who just unwittingly does that and speaks out to a stranger. And it's in God's timing. It's perfect. It's the right place at the right time for that woman who is a believer to be ministered to.
Amen. Anyone else? Momo's just calling people out over there. Love it. Let me hand it to Hal.
Maybe I should use a mic. I'll knock my teeth out with that.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to...
I shake enough anymore that I would probably just shove that right in my mouth in about 3 seconds. My wife, she's sitting back there wondering what I'm going to say next because she never knows. The last time that I was at a mic, I was speaking at a funeral. This is supposed to be encouraging. And I reached down to pick up the cord because it was fussed around my leg or something. The only problem is I didn't get back up. I died on the floor. So she's pretty spooky about me speaking at a mic or speaking to anybody anymore. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning just about some of the things that happened in my life that hopefully will be an encouragement to you. I've been probably the best blessed person that you know. When I was born, into a Christian family. My mother and father, they loved the Lord deeply. And so I grew up in church. I can't remember it, but I remember I can... what I'm told is that when I was a few weeks old, they took me to church, and Brother Tuber, he dedicated my life to the service of the Lord. A few years later, still going to church every Sunday night, Tuesday, Fridays. That's the way church was then. We were family. Everybody knew everybody. We knew probably stuff that we shouldn't have known. But when I was about 7 years old, I recall that the preacher, Pastor Leonard, he made an altar call. That's when we used to have altars at the front of the church, so that after the pastor had spoke that morning, he would make an altar call for people who may be strangers, or there may be even the congregation who just hadn't received the Lord yet. Or maybe it was somebody who needed to pray through on an issue. Or they needed help with something. And he made the altar call, and I went up, and I gave my life to Christ. When I walked out that morning, I walked down the stairs with my father. He had my hand. And I said, Dad, I give my life to Jesus today. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. And I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, there was one thing that happened during that period of time is that this little 7-year-old or 8-year-old kid had this empty spot in his right here. And now it was full. I had a desire to learn more. The other thing he did, he put a song in my heart. Every day I wake up with a new song in my heart. Today it's He Lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He lives, He lives. You know how I know He lives? Because He lives within my heart. You know, there are a million stories that each one of us could tell. But there's no other story that is more precious than the story of Jesus. There is very seldom times that we walk and talk with people, our neighbors, the people we work with, that an opening isn't given by the Lord that we can't jump in on and just give one word that will stir something within them to want to know more. And that's what I hope that this body is doing, is when the opening presents itself, that we speak up for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to happen to all those people that don't know Jesus Christ? The older we get, the closer to heaven we get. But that doesn't mean that just because you're a teenager or a young adult that you can be with Christ tomorrow or today. Thank you. I've got a lot of stories to tell. I'll tell you more later.
That's something certainly to be thankful for, that he lives. Anyone know that song? Anyone? Could we sing that real quick? Could we? If you don't know it, you'll catch on. It goes, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Right? So let's try that. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.